News Radio KMAN. We're talking Christmas traditions and the history of Christmas here in Riley County with Alana Parker, director of the Riley County Historical Museum. And we've been talking about the Goodnow family and the first Christmas here in the newly settled Manhattan in 1855. We've talked a little bit about Christmas trees and how they grew to prominence over the years. And now, how about gifts? The tradition of gift giving during the holidays.
Absolutely. Well, and that's one of the important things that we remember during this time is it's more about giving and sharing with others. And of course, here in Manhattan and in Riley County, that was important also back in the 1850s. And we do have some examples in the 1870s, the types of gifts that were shared. So just some examples. This is the Manhattan Nationalist from 1877. It said, quote, "There has never been a Christmas before when our merchants have sold so many goods as this. A good and useful Christmas present to a gentleman or boy will be a carton of Elmwood or Warwick collars containing 100 collars." And that's C-O-L-L-A-R-S. So those are those celluloid collars or the stiff cotton collars that you would put on a collarless shirt that men would wear. So I couldn't help but equate that in my mind. So you remember when you were little and your grandparents got you a pair of socks for Christmas?
Yes.
And you weren't real excited about that, but that was one thing that was advertised in the papers that you could get as a gift that was popular. Any furnishing store can supply them. And then from 1879, this was the Manhattan Nationalist. They said, quote, "Christmas is coming, and the most acceptable present you can give your friend is your photograph, taken in Burgoyne's best style at his new gallery opposite Purcell's Bank here in Manhattan." So there's something that a popular gift was just to give a cabinet card or photograph of yourself to one of your friends. I'm not sure how many of my friends would appreciate that, though. So
yeah, not as much today. I don't think that would go over as well today.
No, I agree. And then here's some list of some gifts we do have to share. So this was one example. This was the Industrialist in 1877. It said, quote, "Professor Gale's youngest daughter, little Hattie, was surprised on Christmas Eve by a remarkable visit from the venerable old Santa Claus. Santa has made it a point to annually slip down the chimney and leave in her stocking some tokens of his regards. But he never before favored her so much as to bring her a Christmas tree full of presents and then cap by removing the presents and delivering them to her with his own hands. Hattie was very much pleased by Kris Kringle's visit and with the many pretty and very useful things which he gave her. Although the old gentleman came more especially to see her, he nevertheless remembered the other members of the family as well as the boarders in the home. The tree contained some 50 presents and was beautifully trimmed and lighted. Among the gifts we noticed, the following silver articles: one set of knives, a caster in a butter knife, two napkin rings, a napkin holder, a pickle dish, and a watch chain. Besides, there was a large family Bible, a gold ring, several beautiful pieces of fancy work, silk handkerchiefs, and many other minor presents. To say nothing of the toys and such like, it was a very pleasant little entertainment enjoyed by all, Hattie in particular." So some of those gifts there, I wouldn't really say those are for a child, but she seemed to be happy with them nonetheless. But those were some examples of the presents. And as we were mentioning, sometimes they were placed on the tree as opposed to being under the tree. And then we do have here gifts for Christmas. Fox and Kimball have just received an assortment of articles beautifully adapted to be used as presents for Christmas or New Year's. Among the articles were observed elegant photographic albums, gold pins, chessmen and boards, diaries for 1888, and some of the finest illustrated gift books we ever saw. But perhaps the most interesting of the whole collection is the splendid stereoscope in views. For those who delight in pictures, there is more enjoyment for the money in this instrument in views than in anything we have ever seen. We are glad to see objects presented to this community so worthy of a refined and cultivated taste. So that's a really kind way to talk about the stereoscope. And if any of the listeners, I'm sure many are familiar with what those are, but it's the viewer that you put the card in and it presents a 3D image. It's the two images printed side by side on the card. And I always equate it in my mind. I remember in the late 1980s, that ViewMaster, Brandon, if you ever had one of those yep. orange ViewMasters that you put the card in, kind of the more modern side of that. But those were extremely popular Christmas gifts around this time. And that was in the starting in the 1860s. And then, of course, leading up to the 1900s. Those were just a very, very popular gifts to give to family members. So I thought that was kind of a fun one, too.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, over the years, especially in the 20th century, we saw more of the commercialization of Christmas. Did you see a lot of that here locally in the 1800s?
Oh, absolutely. Merchants and businesses really utilized the local newspapers to advertise. And of course, everything is the biggest and the best for their particular store. And if I had a nickel for every time you hear the best in Kansas or the whatever they're advertising for, that they had the best to offer the community for Christmas gifts. So yes, a lot of that, really commercializing it. You did see that a lot in the papers, even early on.
Okay. I wonder how long the shopping season was, if it would start right after Thanksgiving or if they, wait till December. I'm imagining it's probably the latter.
Well, it actually, so just in looking at the papers, they would start advertising even before, we think of our shopping traditions today with Black Friday. And my goodness, it seemed to be just moving up sooner and sooner where you have businesses and stores really promoting shopping. But in the papers, even in the before the turn of the century, you can see just right after Thanksgiving, they seem to really focus on Thanksgiving, keeping it separate. But right after that, they're really promoting people to get out and shopping and get their Christmas gifts. And even they would comment on deliveries. So this would be in the 1880s, 1890s, the post, how it would be prudent to, if you need to send something to get it in the mail or in the post to get it sent to whoever you need it delivered to. And of course, it's kind of funny to think of today. If you don't have your gift in the mail right now, whoever you're sending it to might not be receiving it in time. So even in the 1880s, they're encouraging people to get their post in the mail to get it sent in a timely manner.
I'm sure the mail moved a lot slower. We'd probably say it moves slower now than it did back then, but honestly, it probably moved a lot slower back then just because of the technology that we have now versus then.
Exactly. And that's why I thought that was kind of funny. Of course, this is being transported via horse and buggy and with the railroad by the time the railroad came in and moving that mail, but a lot slower then. But I think some people would argue today that it's just kind of moves like molasses, but it's funny to make those comparisons in the history of that. We also have a list of some of the popular toys that came out Christmas time throughout the decades. And one that was kind of interesting, and many still, these toys are still available, but I thought we'd start in 1910 here. The most popular toys in 1910 were the teddy bear, the Lionel train, and Erector sets. In 1920, the yo-yo, the Tinker toy, and the Raggedy Ann doll, those were the top three toys of 1920. The 1930, the Shirley Temple doll, the Red Ryder BB gun, and Monopoly. Those were the top three of the 1930s. And every time I hear Red Ryder, I think, and many would probably be in agreement, we actually just watched A Christmas Story. So it always makes me think of that.
Yes, indeed. Love that movie.
What a great movie. The 1940s, most popular toys were the Slinky, Legos, and Silly Putty. The 1950s, Mr. Potato Head, Barbie, the Hula Hoop, and Play-Doh. Those were the most popular toys. It's kind of funny. I think, and you probably are in agreement, I had a lot of these growing up, whether Tinker Toys, I remember playing with those. I even had a Red Ryder BB gun.
Really?
Yes, I did. My dad made sure that we had, my sister and I had those. The 1960s, G.I. Joe, the Etch-a-Sketch in the Easy Bake Oven. The 1970s, you can probably guess what was one of the popular theme toys from the 1970s based on movies that came out. Anything Star Wars was popular in the 1970s. Particularly Han Solo seemed to be, the action figure seemed to be the most popular selling toy. Speak and Spell, Nerf gun and skateboards for the 1970s. The 1980s, a Cabbage Patch Kid, the Rubik's Cube. I don't think I have ever been able to fully complete the Rubik's Cube, but not for lack of trying. Transformers and Koosh Balls. And then the 1990s, of course, you had the Beanie Baby phase, Tickle Me Elmo, Furby, and Nintendo Game Boy. So those were some of the most popular toys from each decade.
Some fun toys. I've had a little bit of each of those. The Etch-a-Sketch, of course. I've never been really fond of the Etch-a-Sketch. It's just too hard. I don't know. People make these amazing drawings, and I can only just do like lines on the thing. So, yeah.
That's usually how I did that too.
But I've had some of those other toys, and you know, a lot of those. I never had the Game Boy, unfortunately, but I had other systems.
Yes. Well, and that's kind of funny too. You look at just how technology has changed what's available for toys now. And but some of these you can still find just in walking down the aisle at the store. I got my niece, I don't remember the Light Bright, where put the pegs in and it illuminated from the backside. Those are still available. So some of those toys they're kind of bringing back, and you can find Rubik's Cubes, you can find the Etch-a-Sketch, toys like that. Of course, Barbie's still popular, many of those. You can still find the Red Ryder BB gun. So some of those that even came out over 100 years ago are still popular today.
And I was just talking about Light Bright on Friday with Steven here on the radio, and Troy, our sports guy. And I remember playing with that, and I bet you they're probably even improved now from what they used to be. But that is a toy that I'm dying to find. If I can find it at a department store, I got to find one, because I'd love to have one for our family. Those are a lot of fun.
Oh, the Light Bright?
Yes.
Yes, and I'm trying to remember where I found it, but I immediately glommed onto it because I thought, oh, this is great, because I remember having one growing up, and I just wanted to make sure my niece had one. So you can still find them. And, you know, you try to shop locally too, but it's amazing what you can find on Amazon. But I think if you can find it in a local store, that's what we always try to support local businesses.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, let's take a break here. We'll talk more with Alana Parker here. Final segment of In Focus straight ahead. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.